Let's be careful about saying things like that. Okay? You don't know if this is God's wrath being poured out upon the world and upon the United States and upon China. I'm going to get into that a little bit and talk about that. You don't really know that. Things that we don't know, we have to be careful about making broad statements about. So often even we Christians will do that. We'll take things, topics that we really don't have all the answers for, but boy, we've got our answers. And we think we know what we're saying. I think we ought to just be careful. This is a great time to witness. It is a great time to say, look, even though we're going through this time, God is still, He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I do believe that this is a sign, if you want to use that term. I know maybe you don't, but I do believe that it's a sign of the last days. And I just want to read, you don't need to stand here today, I'm just going to read a few verses here and we'll get into this. In Matthew chapter 24, you know this is dealing with the tribulation period, the millennial reign of Christ. It's dealing with the last days. The disciples were gathered around Jesus Christ and they actually just asked Him. Let me read from verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Now remember, they're saying, look at Jesus, look at this temple, it's so beautiful, it's gorgeous. Herod's temple was one of the, it could have been considered maybe one of the seven marvels of the world or seven wonders of the world. And so they're saying, they're pointing this out to Jesus Christ. Look what He says. He says in verse 2, verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Did you know that archaeologists say that that is exactly true? That when they excavated the temple, Herod's temple, during this time, after General Titus from Rome came in and devastated Jerusalem, literally devastated the temple. Everything that was wood, He burned, and anything that was stone or brick, He literally turned and pulled up and moved. There was not one stone upon another. That foundation of that temple was completely destroyed because He did not want to see another one built for a long, long time. And so that's a true and accurate prophecy. Verse 3. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. There's number one right there. There's a lot of that going on today. People are being deceived. People are being deceived and not believing the Word of God. People are being deceived and following a leader that is not a leader. People are being deceived by Satan constantly, over and over and over again. Churches rising up, religions rising up, all kinds of things that to deceive people. And that's the very first warning that He gets or gives. Don't be deceived. Then He goes on and He says this, for many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I told you this morning, that this, you know, the 12th Imam, the Islamic Messiah, literally is called Islamic Messiah. He's literally called that. Just like Jesus is called the Anointed One or the Messiah. And He is going to come in the last days and He's going to bring a caliphate to the entire world. And their job as Muslims are to kill anybody that does not believe or does not convert to Islam. That is the Islamic Messiah's job or duty or his motivation when he comes. And he appears on the earth. I believe it's the Antichrist, or very close to the Antichrist, because that is what he's going to do. He's going to come in the name of God. He's going to come in the name of the Messiah. And Jesus is warning about this. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Father, take the message and use it for your honor and for your glory. Bless it now, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Guide this preacher, Lord. Please help me to only say what you want said. In Jesus' name, amen. What is a pestilence? I looked up the word pestilence in Webster's dictionary, and here, listen very carefully to what he has to say. Specifically, the disease known as the plague, Hence, any contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. Let me say that again. Specifically, the disease known as the plague. Hence, any contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. The word virulent means extremely poisonous and very active in doing injury. Now, let's admit, that's what the coronavirus is. It's highly, highly contagious, and it's an infectious disease. And so that's what a pestilence is. And so we know that in the last days, leading up to the second coming of Christ, leading up to the rapture, leading up to the tribulation, and all these things, that there is going to be these things that Jesus mentioned. People are going to come in His name. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilences. And so that is something that we see that is taking place around the globe, not just in America, but everywhere. Considering what has been happening in the world since the start of this coronavirus scare, and it is a scare to many people, I want us to stop and think about some things spiritually. Because what's on everybody's mind is how this affects me. What's it going to do to me? Mary Ann was sharing just before 11 o'clock. Somebody down in her area has got a little stand set up selling toilet paper by the rolls and coffee filters for masks. And so that started me thinking, we've got a bunch of tape. We've got a bunch of coffee filters laying around. And we could get those out. We could set up a stand out in front. And we've got 28 rolls of toilet paper. Please, don't take our toilet paper. She also was saying that people were walking out of Alaska's restaurant with toilet paper underneath their stealing toilet paper. True. So anyway, there's a lot of craziness going on today. And again, you go into the stores and people are going nuts. People are panicking. People are in an uproar. They don't know what... Here's the thing. When people don't know what the future holds, they go crazy. And when you think about it, nobody knows the future. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But immediately when a pandemic like this strikes, everybody thinks and they start following one another. If everybody was running off a cliff, they'd all just follow everybody off the cliff. That's the human nature it seems like there is. Please remember that viruses, colds, cancer, heart disease, and everything else that we humans get is a result of sin. It's a result of the sin-cursed world that we live in. This coronavirus is nothing but another example of what we see going on in the last days, leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ. It's a result of sin. Now, some are more devastating, it seems like, than others, but the flu kills far more people than this has. I'm not saying that this couldn't get worse and worse and worse. It certainly could. Again, we need to be cautious. We need to think outside of the box. But is there any reason for us Christians to panic and get into a frenzy about this? No. Christ has us in His hands. We're controlled by the Lord. We need to see the larger canvas of this whole thing. Instead of just looking at the little things that we see around us and what's going on at Walmart, what's going on at this store, what's going on down the street, what's going on in this school district, what's going on in this county. And we look at that and we get all upset. Kids are just, they're having a ball right now. They're out of school for a month. Man, they're going to count this as a vacation. Parents are in a frenzy. What do we do with all these kids home? They have to work. I don't know what to tell you. Don't bring them here. Amen. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But there's, again, Harold Vaughn wrote that we Christians should make God our primary health care provider. I like that. We Christians should make God our primary health provider. Pandemics will continue to happen on earth, he says. But pandemonium should not be our response. Now is a good time to contemplate eternal things instead of panicking over the current events. This will soon pass, we feel. And again, I don't really believe that this means that God is behind this to destroy people in their lives. I don't hold to that. This can be used to draw the lost to Christ, and this could be used to wake up the Christian that is sound asleep or dozing off in their Christianity. We have to understand that we need to be careful about just blaming God for this or blaming God for everything that happens. Remember, most things that happen to us is a result of sin, not what God is doing to you. You don't need to blame God for that. Oh, God, you're doing this to us. No, God's not doing it. We did it to ourselves. Adam did it and Eve did it when they brought sin into the world. And it's going to progressively get worse as time goes on. This is one of those things that's just getting worse as time goes on. Please remember 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember that God is patient. We human beings are not, but God is always patient. One of you commented on the sign in front. I put this out yesterday. I put on one side, it's more important to pray than to panic. Let me saw that. A few of you. The other side is don't panic, be at peace, and pray. And I think that should be the message that we have to the community. Let people realize it. There's no need to panic. Why panic when you can pray? You know, we say that so often. Why worry when you can pray? But we Christians, what do? Humanly, we want to worry about everything. And if we don't have anything to worry about, we invent something to worry about. Shame on us. When America cancels all sporting events over the fear of this disease, you know it's serious. This that's going on is unprecedented in our lifetime. September 11, 2001 did not bring about all of this. I have never, in my 66 years on planet Earth, have never experienced anything like this in my lifetime or in anybody's lifetime. Has anybody experienced anything like this? Right? This is completely unprecedented. This is completely new to us. Again, when America cancels the NBA, the NCAA, they're canceling, they're pushing out the opening day of baseball. I mean, hockey, everything is just shut down. Arenas have shut down. And I wrote this down, just maybe the God of the Bible will become more important than the God of the ball. Think about that. Other events with large crowds are canceling. We all know that. I already told you about Panera Bread. Sight and Sound has postponed the opening of Queen Esther down in Branson, Missouri, and in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Seneca Nursing Home called Friday to cancel the services until April, maybe. Colleges informing the students that they have to work online and not attend classes. Heritage Baptist Church in Palmyra had to cancel their sportsman's dinner last night. But they bring in 400 people. And so they have 300 pounds of venison. They have all kinds of food there. I don't know what they're going to do with it. But they had to cancel last night. Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church in Webster, Pastor Jack Young, had to cancel their spring thaw, which was scheduled for this Monday and Tuesday. Finger Lakes Christian School has canceled classes for at least 2 weeks. Now it's going to be longer because based on Seneca County. Onondaga, Oneida, Tompkins, Ontario, Yates County, schools are closed. We've never seen this before. This has never happened before. Many churches are canceling their services. I already said, First Bible Baptist in Greece had to cancel their services because of the number of people that come to their church. Several states are limiting gatherings anywhere at 200, 250, 500. Our state is still at 500 unless the governor has changed it since Friday. The Boston Marathon has been canceled. The Masters Golf Tournament has been postponed. Concerts and music events canceled. The Major League Baseball has already canceled the remainder of the spring training and are pushing back the start at least for 2 weeks, maybe more. Conferences, conventions, canceling. Disneyland in California. was granted an exception from the state of California advisory to postpone or cancel all gatherings of 250 people or more. After initially deciding to stay open, Disneyland announced Thursday afternoon it would shut down for the remainder of March. This is only the fourth time in history that the California park has closed. Officials said that Disney's three hotels at Disneyland, the Disneyland Hotel, Paradise Pier, and the Grand Californian, will remain open until Monday, March 16th, to give current guests enough time to make travel arrangements, in other words, to get out. Disney World in Orlando, Florida. A few hours after the announcement of Disneyland's closing in California, Disney announced that the theme park at Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida, and the Disneyland Paris Resort will close starting at the close of business on March 15th. Disney Cruise Lines will suspend all new departures beginning March 14th. Governor Andrew Cuomo has banned gatherings of more than 500 people in New York. The effects of Broadway shows will remain suspended until at least April 12th. The New York City's annual St. Patrick's Day parade, scheduled for March 17th, canceled. Cruise lines and other traveling, and airlines, Delta has canceled all traveling outside of the country. Several St. Patrick's Day parades across Ireland has canceled due to the outbreak. The Dalai Lama, oh please, the Dalai Lama, has canceled all public events. Because they kiss his hands and feet and kiss him all over, so he's not coming around anymore. Movie releases and entertainers are affected. This has never happened in our lifetime. Nothing like this has ever happened in our lifetime. The mass hysteria is incredible. The run on toilet paper, pun intended, and other commodities is insane. People following in the footsteps of others. People are more frenzied about what might happen with the coronavirus than what is sure to happen to all of us eventually, spiritually. There's multitudes of people that are lost, they're more concerned about a roll of toilet paper than their eternal destiny. Even Christians are more concerned about the physical than they are the spiritual. I'm not saying come to church. If you don't feel good, I already told somebody that. Listen, if you're sick, stay home. But some are going to use this as an excuse. Stay home. Well, I just don't know if I should go to church. All those people down there, I know they're all infected with something. And so we just better stay home because we don't want to go to church and get infected with something. I might get a toothache if I go down there to church. I might get my hangnail, might start acting up again. I mean, it's insane. But if you're sick, you don't feel good, stay home. Amen. And we may not shake hands, which is really weird to me. President Trump was saying the other day, he just naturally sticks his hand out. He never shook hands with people until he became a president. He was somewhat of a, I don't know if he's a germaphobe or what, but he says now shake hands. And now he's got to, pull the thing back. And that's the way it is around here. I feel so weird not shaking your hand. I think I've shaken three hands today. Ah! Oh no. But listen, it's okay. I don't think I'm going to die. I will go take a shower as soon as I get in the house with hand sanitizer. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. I'm sorry? I don't know. Just think about all those spoons you touch. Then somebody else comes along and touches that spoon. Somebody else comes along. Coughing. Hey, if you want to go to the buffet, have at it.
I think we should offer to help out with all that.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to get some of that venison. What are our choices? Again, I got to get into this message, but our choices, you can either panic and go into a frenzy and become filled with anxiety or trust in the Lord. What's our choice? Well, I think we ought to trust. Let me give you three quick things here. If I don't have time to finish this morning, we'll finish it tonight. How's that? But we need, number one, write this down. We need to trust in the Word of God. Where else do Christians go in a time of disaster, in a time of problem, in a time of anxiety? Where do we go? What do we do? Do we run to, we can't, listen, you can't run to the government, you can't run to Walmart anymore and get what you want. I mean, where do we go as believers to get some answers from God? We go to the Word of God. Now the question today is, can you trust the Word of God? I will say this, right now I am trusting what the government is trying to do. I believe they're leading, and I believe that we citizens ought to be following their advice. I have no problem with that. I agree with it, okay? I may not agree with every little thing that they're doing, but I listened to Governor Cuomo the other day, and that man was filled with wisdom. And I enjoyed listening to what he had to say pertaining to this. His own daughter had to be tested for this coronavirus. He says, I know personally how it's affecting people. And so, when I heard him the other day, I don't agree with all of the other stuff that he has proposed and pushed through this legislature, but what he was saying the other day was trying to bring calm to New York State. And I appreciated that. I appreciate what our president has been trying to do. And I appreciate what the Democrats and Republicans trying to work across the aisle are trying to do to try to help the country. That's what the way it should be. Should be like that all the time. But where do we go for real trust? The Word of God. Amen. This is where we go. Because there's only one sure foundation to stand upon. Remember, things happen in life all the time. You could get a phone call later today that would change your entire life. You could visit the doctor this week and get a whole different perspective on your life. You could be driving down the road and have an accident that could change your entire life. We have no guarantees as to what's going to take place beyond right now. We don't know. So, what do? Things happen all the time in life. Some severe things happen in life, and some not so severe things happen in life. We go through little tragedies, you know, big things, little, all the time, every day. That's the way life is, till we get to heaven. That's what life is all about. And as we get closer to the second coming of Christ, I believe that we're going to be seeing more of these things, not less. I'd love to see less, but I don't think that's the case according to the Word of God. When tragedy strikes, there's only one place that's really safe and secure, and that's the Word of God. Folks, don't stop reading your Bible because of the coronavirus. You might even have a little bit more time to read your Bible. If you can't go to work or if you can't do some of the things that you're supposed to be doing, spend time reading God's Word. When a tragedy hits our life, we ought to be able to immediately know the verses. We ought to immediately know where to turn. We as Christians ought to have a solid head on our shoulders when it comes to things like this. And again, not panic. Kathy and I was in Walmart on Friday. And a lot of people there. But you know what I noticed? I did notice you look at people a little differently when there's a coronavirus floating around. The guy in front of me at the pharmacy, he did a little cough, and I'm thinking, oh no, I got to get out of here. Right? I mean, that's immediately the thing that comes to your mind. Oh my goodness, I got to be tested, quarantined. Please put me in a self-quarantine somewhere for 2 weeks. That would be wonderful. Oh, but that's how we're thinking now. We see somebody walking around with a mask. Ah, they must have it. They've got it. Oh no, don't touch them. Don't. But then I saw people talking and laughing and getting along, and it's like it's amazing how people can react to certain things differently. And I even see that with Christians. We Christians react differently. You know Christians that react, you know people that react completely different than maybe the way you're reacting or somebody else the way they're reacting. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You know the verse probably. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Again, we need to trust in the Word of God. I'm going to give you just some verses that the Bible uses, the Word of God uses, to help us, I think, today. There's a lot of verses that could help us. We don't have time to look at them all, but the whole book from Genesis to Revelation can help. But some verses that just, as I was preparing this, I actually started preparing this message on Friday. We were off from school Friday, and the Lord started to give me some thoughts, and I just started writing things down and typing things, and these verses came to my mind. You'll have other verses that'll come to your mind, and that's good. But this verse came to my mind. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people," that's who we are, we're the people of God. I know this is dealing with Israel, please relax, okay? But I'm one of God's people. I'm part of His flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If my people, which are called by my name. I'm called by the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you? You're saved? Of course. So can we use this verse for ourselves personally? Absolutely. Shall humble themselves. That's number one right there. We should pray that this whole thing humbles people. And then the next thing is what? Pray. Humble and pray. This is the order that, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this verse was written. Very first thing is humble. Second is pray. And then seek my face. And then fourthly, turn from their wicked ways. You would say, well, why isn't turn from your wicked ways first? Because you can't turn from your wicked ways if you're not humble. You can't turn from your wicked ways if you're not praying. You can't turn from your wicked ways if you're not seeking God. See how the Bible put it in perspective? And so you humble, you pray, you seek, and you turn from your wicked ways. Then it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How important is that verse right now? Very, very important. We need that verse right now. I have that verse memorized. Many of you probably have the verse memorized. It immediately came to my mind the other day. If my people. See, that's a conditional thing. See that little word if in the front, very first word of the verse? If, if. So if you don't do that, what's going to happen? The land will not be healed. You know what's so important right now is for Christians to get right with God. For Christians to get revived. For Christians to get serious with God and stop playing church. Stop playing Christian. Get right with God. Get serious with God. Get on our knee, back on our knees. Get back in the Bible. Get back into church. Get back doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's so important for each and every one of us. And so that verse is vital for us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he says, will I hear from heaven and then will I forgive their sins and will heal their land. You know the verse. You know the verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of us could quote those. And we do often when we are in a time like this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Turn over there if you don't know it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's say it out loud together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Are we doing that? Are we trusting the Lord? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you trust Him with your toilet paper? Do you trust Him with your food? Do you trust Him with the things that you have? Can't you just trust the Lord and understand, hey, God, you know, there's some needs that I have. Would you please help me to meet those needs? And don't you think God will do that? Of course He would. Of course He does. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 8. James 4, 8. Trust in the Word of God. So vitally important. James chapter 4, verse 8. Now this is basic stuff here, folks. You understand that. James 4, 8, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We're hearing that all the time. Hey, cleanse your hands. Wash your hands. But that's spiritually speaking here is what the Bible is saying. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. That's spiritual, ye double-minded. But what do? We draw nigh to God. We get close to God. We allow God to get close to us. But you know what? You can't get too close to God if there's sin in your life. You can't get too close to God when you're doubting God and you're not trust. How can you get close to God when you don't trust Him? You've got to trust Him to get close to Him. You don't. There's people in this world you don't trust. And those people that you don't trust, you don't get too close to them. You're not going to invite a thief in your home, are you? You're not going to invite some murderer into your home. You're not going to invite some of these people in your home that you know that that's their main problem. You're not going to invite a rapist in your home. You're not going to invite a child molester into your home. There's people in this world that you don't trust. You stay, you keep your distance. But when you and I are trusting God, we're supposed to get close to God. Draw nigh to God. You get close to God, He'll take care of your needs. He'll take care of this whole thing. I believe that with all my heart. He'll take care of this. And if you get coronavirus, He'll take care of that also. Remember, let Him be our primary care physician in all things. It's not, hey, go to the doctor, go to the ER, go to the urgent care, do whatever you got. I believe in doctors and I believe in urgent care. I believe in all of that. But let's make sure that we take it to God also. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. We'll end in the book of Psalms here for today. You'll have to come back tonight to get the last two points of this message. I don't have time to give all three of them to you this morning. Psalm 56. Again, number one is what? Trust in the Word of God. When things like this are going on in our life, we trust in the Word of God. Psalm 56. Verse 4. Psalm 56, verse 4. In God, I will praise His what? Word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What's everybody fearing today? They're fearing what flesh can do unto them. They're fearing this disease, this virus, this pandemic, this whatever is going on. They're fearing that. And that's what we see. There's this pandemonium going on because of fear and panic. What does the Bible say? Well, in God I'll praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Let me say this gently and carefully. You don't have to fear anything. Don't have to fear. Use caution. Amen. Wash your hands, hand sanitizer, get outside, get some fresh air, whatever they're telling us that, you know, the experts say. You don't have to fear. There's no need to fear. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 56. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. God, are you repeating yourself? Yeah. Why is He repeating Himself? Because we need it. It says, in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. You don't have to be afraid of anything today. Use caution. Be careful, obviously. Yes, we're doing that. Sonia was here yesterday, and boy, I'll tell you what, she got the Lysol wipes and she scrubbed everything here. Which is a blessing. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that things are clean. But we don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. And do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. What do? We trust in what? the Word of God. We trust in the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. What do? Folks, we trust in the Word of God. Read this Bible every day. Trust in God. Put your trust and faith in Him. During these times of crisis, during these times of tragedy, during these times of disease, however you want to put it, just remember that this is one of those things that is pointing us to the second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming back soon. Now, wouldn't it be great if He came back today and got us out of here? I'm ready to go. I don't know if you're ready to go or not. But we don't know when Christ is coming back. We have no clue. He might come back today. It may be 50 years from now. I kind of doubt it, but hey, you know what? I'm ready to go either way. Either by death or by the rapture. I'm not... Would I prefer one over the other? Maybe. But either way, I'm going to heaven. I know that. So if the Lord takes me early, it's not early for Him. So, listen, here's the thing. Be ready. If you're not saved, get saved. And if you're not living right, start living right as a Christian. See this as a time in which we need to get right with God. Please, come back tonight. We'll give you the other two points in the message. Father, thank You again for allowing us to be here. Again, Lord, we put our lives in Your hands. We even put our health, Lord, in Your hands. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us and be with us and direct us and give us wisdom, Lord.